It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. 50 years ago this week, something strange happened on a December night in 1965 in the small town of Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, about an hour southeast of Pittsburgh. At 4:47 p.m., a flaming object came out of the sky. To some observers, it appeared to be guided, changing its path and making a level descent away from residential areas and in the woods of Kecksburg. At the time, authorities claimed it was a meteorite. However, most residents have never accepted that explanation, and the mystery has remained unsolved. But now, two Westmoreland County researchers are putting forth a theory that seems to make sense. I'm joined now by phone from Miami by John Ventre. He is state director of the Mutual UFO Network. John Ventre, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. And I'm the Pennsylvania director. I'm only in Miami because of vacation.
Yeah, I know.
I reside in Westmoreland.
We understand that. Also with us is Owen Eichler, a Shafton native who has spent decades investigating the incident. Owen Eichler, good to have you with us.
And thank you very much for having me here.
Owen, what happened on the night of December 9th, 1965 in Kecksburg, PA?
Somewhere around 4:45, myself and other playmates were in a field looking towards the northeast over the Pennsylvania Turnpike Bridge. I was catcher at the time, and I had a view, a good view, of, say, 5 miles of sky area when I saw this flaming object about a quarter mile high or less moving from the northwest to the north or the southeast, from northwest to southeast. And I called attention to it with all my playmates. The bright green flaming object, and the green struck me as being significant. There were other colors as well. There was yellow and purple, but they were smaller colors trailing behind this. At the time, I thought, well, if it's an aircraft, it's got to be in some big trouble, and it can't fly very far. But we were to find out later that it landed in Kecksburg.
Why was the green? You mentioned the colors, and you said the green seemed to be indicative of something in particular for you. What and why?
Well, now our research shows us that the GE Mark II capsule, or reentry vehicle, as I like to call it, was constructed with a big, heavy copper base. And for the listeners, the general shape of this vehicle was that of a funnel, with the large end of the funnel being a heavy base copper. Now, this heavy copper, of course, was alloyed with some other materials, but if you heat copper up to extremely high temperatures, it will burn green in the open atmosphere. And so that led me on my research in the years forthcoming, where I finally did nail down that the GE Mark II reentry vehicle was constructed with the big heavy copper base, followed by a stainless steel afterbody that was a copper cladded, and on top of that, a coat of platinum.
So you remembered the green, and then years later, you put it together to formulate your theory about the GE Mark II, which we'll talk more about with people. But at the time, you were saying you were the catcher, so you're playing baseball in a field, and then you look up and you see this thing. Are you thinking, hey, flying saucer? You know, was that something that occurred to you?
No, not at all, because in those days, if you have to remember, that's the Cold War era, and we lived not too far from Oakdale, Pennsylvania, which was a U.S. Army Air Force base, and we were quite accustomed to see many vehicles in the sky, large Huey helicopters, planes, jets. We had sonic booms at that time. That was just really common, ordinary, daily stuff. So my immediately thought was aircraft, and I can mention at the time, I was taking flying lessons, so I knew a little bit about that.
So you weren't afraid and you weren't prone to jumping to conclusions about it being something extraterrestrial or something that was a foreign object from a foreign country. Like, as you mentioned, the Cold War was going on at the time, so that you weren't necessarily assuming that, oh, this is the Russians coming after us.
Well, not at first thought, no, because I said we were quite accustomed to see an aircraft in the area. But the first thought come to my mind was an aircraft in trouble. And I was looking at that time, like I said, I was already schooled enough visiting airports and being in planes. I would have thought I would have seen something tumble or throw off debris, but there was absolutely nothing like that occurring. This thing flew in a straight line. never dropped altitude, and it just looked like a fireball. And I would say my very first impression was that of a meteor, of course.
Which is what the official explanation ended up being, I believe, was that folks were told, no, it's just a meteor, don't worry, go back to your homes, excitement's over, folks. But John Ventre, there are many people who believed what they were seeing was, in fact, some kind of UFO, a flying saucer, correct?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when I do the conference down there in Kecksburg, the festival, I get about half the people come up to me and they say, you know, it was a UFO, it was an ET. And the other half kind of come over to me and wink and say, I think it's that Russian thing, meaning Cosmos 96. So, yeah, but through the years, there's been a large following believing that this was a UFO. And I did, too, up until this year.
And there's kind of a cottage industry that's been built around this. Kecksburg has been identified with the unidentified, if you will, the idea that this object, which has never been totally explained, has created a buzz and made Kecksburg a destination, in a sense, and this has been a point of pride for the residents there.
Yeah, I would say so. But, you know, when they do the festival in July, I got to be honest with you, only maybe 10% of the crowd actually shows up in the fire hall to hear the UFO presentations. Most of the crowd that's there, the younger kids and stuff, they're just playing the games and eating cotton candy and enjoying a festival. So, you know, I don't even believe that the truth coming out now will actually hurt the Kecksburg Fire Department Festival.
Well, and that is the next kind of thing to get at here is what is the truth? And you gentlemen believe that you have figured out what it is, John. So what is being said? What have you come to conclusions about, as well as Owen Eichler here, as to what this half-century UFO really is?
Yeah, well, this is Owen's theory. I was more of the person to read through it and verify it. And, you know, I have added a few things to it by questioning him pretty severely, because I'm the guy that runs the UFO network here, the Mutual UFO Network. So he had to convince me. But what this absolutely appears to be is a U.S. Spy capsule that was launched out of Johnson Island. And we believe it was the launch that took place on December 7th, 2 days earlier. So it's a spy satellite, had a little window on it and a camera, and it was launched. And this is significant as the glowing green, is that it was launched north. So it was a polar launch, and it would go over the poles. It would take a picture of Russia, maybe a few pictures. Then it would, you know, eject its camera system. Because when it was seen on December 9th, it was coming down over Canada. So the trajectory matches up with the launch that took place on December 7th. The glowing green matches up with the heat shield that was on the GE Mark II. So we're convinced that that's what it was.
And
there are other aspects that match up also.
Okay, and Owen Eichler, you made reference to the Mark II earlier, but I don't think a lot of people know what this is. What is the GE Mark II? Before we get to why you believe that this is what the UFO, in fact, was, what is it?
Well, based on the shape of it, which we have pictures from a witness, Jerry Betters, who is currently deceased, he had seen it on a flatbed. And the picture that he had drawn, hand-drawn picture, and his sworn testimony and notarized document pretty much matches what I had found after looking for many, many years. What I was looking for at the time is what the Russians and what the Americans were using for reentry vehicles. And keeping in mind the copper and keeping in mind the ability for it to steer and control, I had come across the GE Mark II vehicle, which had dual purpose and maybe even more. But its original intent was to deliver a nuclear device to a major city. MK2 and their Thor rocket, which was the original ICBM combination, was actually given to the British RAF. 60 of those rockets and reentry vehicles and bombs were delivered to the RAF along with a contingency of team of controllers, handlers, communication experts, and maintenance people to train the British on how to operate these. So it didn't take long for the whole picture to come together. I did have to go and research the types of vehicles that the Soviet Union, formerly Russia, formerly Soviet Union, were using. Now, they used something different. They used a completely spherical vehicle. No cone after body, no heat sink. It just would be a big bowling ball traveling through the atmosphere. And their theory was they were going to take a shotgun approach, just throw it at a city somewhere. Whereas the MK2 was developed by General Electric and manufactured through some contractors to be a completely steerable vehicle to go directly to the target.
This would have been something that no one would have seen before. So there was still a lot of mystery about this. The government officials who showed up in Kecksburg, they knew what it was, but the residents who saw it had no idea.
That's correct. And you answered probably one of your own questions coming about the credibility of Jerry Betters, because he would have no idea, like the rest of us would, of what it was. So he drew a picture straight from memory before anybody even knew or brought out the possibility of it being the reentry vehicle from General Electric.
Yeah, and you know what I'd like to add too is that this information was not made public until 1991, and that's where Owen found it in various publications. So you got to realize this is kind of taking the place of the U-2 spy plane, which was captured a few years earlier. This was spying on Russia, and you can just imagine, it was above top secret at the time.
And Owen, describe the shape of it. It looks kind of like an upside down. If you flip it over, it looks like an acorn, right?
An acorn, with the exception that the front was more of a conical shape, like the bottom end of a funnel you would use in the kitchen or in the garage. And the reason that's a point of contention with people that are analyzing and possibly disagreeing with our theory is the best that they could describe it would be an acorn, which would be probably more of a round nose on the end rather than conical. But that's been disproved by me and others, because we have other witnesses that have seen it other than Jerry Betters that describe it as conical. And that's important because it was half buried in a hillside. So all these witness testimonies that we get of people who were in the woods at dusk and then near dark, describing it being of a certain length is just total bunk, because nobody could see how long it really was. They were only estimating.
I think another important point, too, is the shape that Owen is describing is important because that is aerodynamic. If it was, a cigar-shaped like the Cosmos 96, like an oversized hot water heater, or if it was round, it would be tumbling. It would be really burning up in the atmosphere, where this one was engineered to be this shape because it could actually body surf on the air. And that's the way it was constructed.
It's the Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking about the Kecksburg UFO, which landed in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, in a field some 50 years ago this week. With me by phone from Miami is John Ventre. He's state director of the Mutual UFO Network, and Owen Eichler, a Shafton native who spent decades investigating the incident. Was this the fact that this UFO, this object, landed in a field away from the city, away from the town and the population of the town, should that lead us to believe that this was being steered?
I would have to believe so, because it was going on a straight line, and once it passed Cleveland, it kind of made a left turn, and then when it got around it then made a right turn. And for the conspiracy people who talk about Flight 93, it was after it passed the population centers is when the plane went down. So it definitely gives the appearance that this thing had been steered away from population centers. And we know that this one was quite capable of a controlled landing.
So, Owen, once you got an idea that this was what the UFO was, that in fact it was this GE Mark II reentry device, what was the reason that you decided that it is important to get this information out to people?
Well, as I spoke with John for many years, it has gone on entirely too long and too far. And some of the shows that I had seen on television in the last, I don't know, 15 years or so, have corrupted the story so badly that I believe they were just about to the point where it would be virtually impossible to discover the truth, which is probably what the authorities wanted. Of course, they're not going to say anything. The authorities aren't going to say anything, the military, because the more that we let the years go by and the more we let the story crumble and get corrupted by people saying, well, it's this and it's that, it was up for me, being one of the only ones that followed this for many, many years, I felt an obligation to bring it up before we lost the entire truth.
And Owen Eichler, as the person who has spearheaded the work to establish what this Kecksburg UFO actually was, how frustrating is it for you to have unearthed all of this evidence and put together this report, and you may never live to see it confirmed?
I don't think I've ever been frustrated, and if I was, I'm a lot less frustrated now. One of my earlier problems was worrying about somebody coming back to me from the federal government, until I found the key document that the U.S. Air Force released on Project 437 and declassified it. That gave me a whole lot more confidence to be able to go out and spread this story and hook up with somebody like John. And I figured if I could convince him, I could convince anybody. And so as a result of that, my frustration level has gone down, and now it's just a matter of time. And if it isn't ever totally revealed, the major thing I wanted to do was call attention to it, which I have. You know, let's all face it, it's going to die after 50 years. So if it's going to die, let's have it die with at least as close to the truth as we can.
I certainly think that you've convinced us, Owen, and I want to thank you and John for being with us. We've been talking with Owen Eichler, a Shafter native who spent decades investigating the Kecksburg UFO, and John Ventre, who is the state director of the Mutual UFO Network. It was 50 years ago this week that the Kecksburg UFO landed in a field, setting off years of speculation about exactly what it was, and we think we've got our answer from the gentleman we've just been visiting with. John, Owen, thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.